Welcome to Prevailing Prayers with GSW. This promises to be another transformative time with the Word of God. Let your hearts be ready to receive the Word mixed with faith that would yield innumerable testimonies in your life. God bless you as you listen.
Good afternoon. I'm going to be teaching on a topic that I believe everybody will benefit from, and that those who have not seen changes should please pay special attention to. Those who are still struggling for change. Christ is your control. Christ is your control. Or Christ is the key to controlling your reality. Christ is the key to controlling your reality. I find out in my Christian work and also in my studies, because I do study a lot. And when I study, I'm not just talking about scripture, I'm also talking about the experiences of great men and women of God who have gone before us, the A.W. Tozers, the Kenneth Hagins, the Finneys, the A.A. Allens, and all of them. I would read their works, I would read their testimonies, I would look at the areas of their ministries where they didn't do so well. And I'll compare and contrast their time and their seasons with my own and with our own as the people that I find as my contemporary or those who have gone ahead of me in this season in Christianity all over the world. Do you know that someone who has zero education, who was a street gang member, who was a gangbanger, a killer, a drug addict, could accept Jesus today and within 1 year become so successful in the path the Lord was setting? And somebody else who was raised a Christian in a Christian home, who grew up not having any form of, let's say, antisocial behavior or inclination, could for 50, 40, 60 years be in one spot and not get set on the course that Christ has set for them or fulfill destiny or be close to fulfilling destiny. I've seen this several times. This paradox of reality. I've seen those who speak in tongues, who sing in tongues, who it has become second nature to. I've seen them struggle with holding their own in the realm of men and fulfilling that aspect of life that makes them independent of circumstances. You see people like that still unable to hold down an accommodation, unable to hold down a job, unable to hold down enough finances or financial strength to be able to do whatever they liked. Like they are still subject to the elements of this world. They still cannot control their own time. They cannot control their own season. Somebody can call them now and they have to drop everything and run. They cannot say no. They do not have control over their own reality. And this person has been born again for 20, 28, 29, 30 years. The worst time is the ones that they have set themselves on a path that is good. And things were working for them. And then something terrible happens. Maybe they lost their job or they lost their marriage or they lost their this or that. And then they go back to ground zero and it is taking them forever to recover. Because they were used to a system, and the system was what was propping them up. It wasn't that that thing was structured inside of them. I've seen people lose everything and they will recover within a year. And they will recover every year. If you put them in any country, they will recover. And the reason is because they have structures inside of them for success. They are not, it is not external. They are not depending on pushing papers at the at office and getting promoted. They actually built internally the structures of success so that in whatever situation or capacity they operate, they would be successful. My aim today is to appeal to those who are in this situation, to show them the path of life, to show them how to come out of it. Because it will seem to me that many people struggle to come out of struggling, and they think we are doing everything right. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. I'm praying, I'm tithing, I pray all the time. I give to the poor, everything, and all these things I'm describing. Do you know all of them are external? All of them are external. The determination to be successful is internal, it's not external. The drive for success is internal, it's not external. Many people will do many external things. You will hear people say, "Hey, I should have changed." People have been, "Why have I not changed? I fasted for 20 days and yet I cannot change." And I will tell them, you don't need to fast in order to change. You have a bad habit. You find yourself, there was a young man, for example, who is married with a child. And then he began to have erectile issues, he began to have performance issues with his wife. Became a problem because by himself, it was fine. With his wife, it was no longer fine. See how odd that is. When he was by himself, it could be a man, his organ will work by himself. When he's with his wife, it wouldn't work. They've gone to several hospitals. Then they came to see me. When they came to see me, I told the wife to excuse us a minute. So the wife did. And then I asked him a question. I said, sir, I'm going to ask you something sensitive. Tell me the truth. He said, okay. I asked him, I said, do you masturbate? And he said, yes, often, like 4, 5, 6 times a day. I said, this is why you cannot meet with your wife. This is the problem. It is not the enemy. It's not medical. This habit of yours. You have a terrible habit, and this habit is killing your marriage. And I spoke to him. I said, the only solution here is for you to stop this habit. See, the instruction was not something that you have to go to heaven and receive. He himself had common sense. He shouldn't even have to come to me. He would have by himself calculated it and told himself, it is this thing I'm doing. Let me stop doing this thing. You shouldn't have to drag your wife to all the hospitals and spend also that kind of money when you know that you have a certain thing that you are doing consistently that is destroying your marriage. And so I then spoke to him and I said, you have to stop this thing. And I said, I'm not going to tell your wife because if I tell your wife, it would hurt her. It would make her see you as a weakling, somebody who cannot control his own impulses, who would rather gratify himself than pleasure his own wife and fulfill his marriage duties. I've spoken to you man to man. Stop this thing, and your marriage within 1 month, your marriage will be fine. Then I called in the wife and I told the wife, I said, "Dear, give me 1 month. It will be fine. Just let him recover." No, I said, "His body has gone through a lot. Let him recover. It will be fine in a month." And guess what? 3 weeks later, the wife called me and said, "Wow, Radenga, things are not fine." Ah, and I was happy. He listened to me. He listened. His body corrected itself. It was no longer, his mind and psyche was no longer tilting in the wrong direction. He could now bond with his wife and they could at least enjoy their marriage. But you know, after a few days that he could perform with his wife, he went back to the old habits. And then the problem came again. And when they called me this time around, I told them I'm not going to pick his car. I told them, "Sorry, I don't have the time. I will either refer your case to people that have more patience. I don't have that kind of patience. I'm sorry, I don't. I cannot twist a case over and over. I personally do not like silly people. And if you are silly and I point it out to you that you are silly, I can only point it out to you once. If you have to make me talk about it again, it's not as if you guys are paying me for consultation. Nobody should come and waste my time. My mother has a lot of blessings she has spoken over me in my life. One of them is that my time will be valuable and people will not waste it. And I do not want my mother's prayer to waste. So I said, I cannot take the case anymore. Move on. You know what to do to your own problem. If you cannot do it, you need a third party to come and beat you to do it. Bye-bye. I cannot help you. Same with gambling. Seen a lot of young men. The wife is working hard, making money. This guy is a Christian, tongue talking, sometimes even a pastor, a deacon. Then he continues this gambling thing. And somebody will tell me, "Oh, no, it's dopamine. Their brain is telling them to do it." So when I hear things like that, let me tell you. Because I'm not of a Gen Z generation. I was raised by old people. I mean, my mom, my dad, my grandparents, those are my key influence points. And I find their wisdom indelible, ineffable. You cannot tell me that it is your own duty, your weakness in life, is to take all the money your wife makes, take all the property of your father and your mother, use it to gamble, and you tell me that that is your weakness in life. No, please. Can you shift? Let me deal with serious people, people that have serious problems. You don't have a serious problem. Your problem is not serious. Your problem is that people around you are enabling you. They are the ones. You see, when you are surrounded by enablers, by those who aid and abet, it is easy to fall into certain kinds of habits. If you have a wife that when you beg her, she will say, "Okay, don't gamble with it though. I will borrow you $1 million." You are not telling me that you will change. No, you must allow him to be arrested. Let the police arrest him. Let the debtors catch him. Let them embarrass his father, his mother, his ancestors, his pastor, his cousin, his uncle, his great grandfather at the grave, his father's name, his mother's name. Let everybody be tearing him slap. Let them blood his nose. You will not be kind. You will not be merciful. You are going to be like Jesus. You will take all the stripe on your back. You will be nailed to the cross. You would sacrifice your emotion and compassion just like Jesus did it. And then when it is time, you will say, "It is finished." And the person will be healed. You see, many of us, we don't go that far. We aid and abet bad behavior. And then we say people don't change. And then the person that is in that bad behavior too, because he did not have a strong hand, you know, that would insist that no is no. He will sulk. He will sulk. He will be angry. He will stomp his feet like a 3-year-old. He will do silent treatment. He will do all sorts. Somebody that you are supposed to have packed his bag and throw on the street, he will now be displaying the house. You'll be stealing your money, stealing your ATM card, using the PIN. You say, because we are married, what God has joined together, let man put asunder. You will have sense. One of these reasons we are doing this class so that everybody can have sense. So that me too, I can have sense. You will have sense. The reason people don't change, the reason they don't move forward in life is because they have allowed themselves to become slave to their passions, to their weaknesses. A man who is a slave to his weakness, a woman who is a slave to her own weakness, can never make a headway in life. You cannot even be a slave to your strength and make a headway. Now, to be a slave to your weakness, you know this thing is my weakness. And you are thinking, I cannot control it. I cannot put a hold on it. And yet you are praying, Father, make me great in life. Make me bless me. Father, show me the way of life. Father, take me there. Father, take me to my wealthy place. Oh, Lord. Oh, Father, lift me up and make me stand. By faith on heaven's stable land, higher place than I have found. Oh, Father, when will you do my own? When will you do my own? You have done Brother Gbenga's own. You have done Aunty Mobola's own. You have answered Sister Tolu's prayer. Father, when will it be my turn? Auntie, you know what they call ring around the rosy? That's chair that rose around. That's your life. It's just going around the one spot. I'll be singing for you as it is going because I'm not going anywhere. There is no higher ground for a man or woman who is a slave to his own weakness. There is no higher ground for you. See, fast, pray, knock your head against the wall, call Jesus, go to Jerusalem, go and lie in the tomb. There is, you are going, your life is round and round. Around and around, that's your life. Speak in tongues more than that. It has nothing to do with Christ not elevating you. It is because you are a slave to your weakness. When you see how far characters that are born to lead, like Apostle Paul, like Pete Cabrera Jr., like there are plenty, so many of them. They have disadvantages because they also have weaknesses. But when they receive Christ, they assimilate Christ in such a manner that Christ then becomes their weakness. So because Christ becomes their weakness, they can no longer serve another weakness. They just champion the cause of Christ. And because they are championing the cause of Christ, they begin to control every other reality around them. They control first their own behavior, their own emotion, they put it under subjection. Second, they begin to control their environment. The environment no longer controls them. The environment no longer controls them. Imagine that. Imagine that one time. I met a pastor when I was a pastor. I met a pastor in the market. I saw him buying things by himself, buying yam, buying fish, buying all these things. It was at Ketu Market. I drove there. My housemate went to buy stuff. I was sitting in the car. He parked right in front of me. Then I saw him dragging all the backhoe bags and all these things, and he was bringing it to his car. I knew his wife. I knew his children. So I came down. I greeted him. What are you doing? He said, this is how I do it. I have to come to the market myself. I don't want Madame to inflate price for me. I said, okay. She married a reasonably beautiful woman. The one was Miss Unilag by the time we married her. So I was like, is it your wife is good? No. I must be the one to do these things, but I mean, God. I must do it. Let us sit down at home. Let us sit down at home. A week later, I was at the church where I was doing PA. I got a strange phone call. I received the call and they said, Pastor Idowu needs my help. And I said, I don't understand. Is it the same? Said, you met me in the market the other day. I said, oh, where are you? He told me where he was. Okay, so I said, okay, I'll come. So I got to my car, I drove there. I got there and I saw that a prostitute has locked this guy in the room. This guy slept with the prostitute and he didn't have enough money to pay. So the prostitute had locked the door and kept the key and was slapping him repeatedly. People were trying to contribute money to bail him out. Nobody in that place could. They didn't want to help him because it has become a problem, right? They had warned him that spoken to him, it has become a problem. So nobody will help him. He didn't want those in his province and his area to know. So he remembered me that, oh, this guy that was at the PI at the provincial headquarters, let him come and help me. So when I got there, they said, oh, he had to pay the prostitute 5,000 naira. I said, hey, so it is my own money. It's my own money now that I should come and use to bail you. My own money. I have wife, I have children, I have cattle fuel. I should not take my own 5,000. I didn't sleep with prostitute. Oh, I should not have mercy on you now and bail you with my money. I said, no. No, my mommy didn't raise me like that. No. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Does not apply here. You see that scripture? Hey, does not apply here. Put my money in my pocket. I ran through by the window. I began to preach. I said, my dear pastor, do you remember the word of God? As I was preaching, the girl was slapping him. Eventually, they begged the girl to let him go. And the girl let him go. From that day, every time he see, he doesn't talk to me anymore. He will see me. He will act as if he didn't see me. Until maybe 2, 3 years later, we met at ShopRite. He came with his family. I also went to ShopRite with my family. We met. He saw me. He greeted me. And I said, I was angry with you for a long time. He said, but I came to my senses. I realized that you are not a wicked person. You just did what you believe was right. I said, if they had killed you that day, I would have gone home to announce that you are dead. But that I will bail you out my money, I can never do it. I do not give those who do drug also my money. If you do drug, they catch you or they arrest you or you didn't pay, let them flay you alive. Let them remove your skin. This is how I'll be looking at you. It is not wickedness. Christ in me is a manifestation of glory. I've worn Christ like a toga. Jesus suffered, so I'm not new to suffering. You see, he said, in his suffering, we suffered with him. I also suffered with him. So when they are beating you, I suffered with you. I'm suffering with you. We are all suffering together. But that I will bail you, no. It is not my Christian duty. My Christian duty is to pray for you and to trust that the beating of that day will lead you to repentance before they kill you. Now, why am I saying this? To all enablers who do not want people who are struggling to get better, you are not being good to them by encouraging their bad behavior. You have a Christian brother, a Christian sister, they will go, they have this habit that it is drug, it is gambling, it's all this thing. And you know they are born again. And you know, I'm not saying they are not born again, but you know that they have this thing that they needed to conquer their weakness. And you are the one that is. That is like, God will do it. We cannot just be looking at him like that. Is it, will he not eat? Will he not go out? I have mercy on him. Your mercy is poison. It is not needed. It is what we call an enabling wickedness. You are basically just pressing this person towards the precipice until the person would self-destruct. You should withdraw your mercy immediately. With all confidence, I'm telling you, those kinds of people need to hit rock bottom and then transform. Now, to those who do not have bad habits, but are just struggling by themselves to find a way to come out of the hole where they've dug themselves into. Do not assume that I speak the way I speak because I've not been where you are. It would not be right for anybody to conclude that I didn't know what your shoe feels like. I do. You do not need nothing. Let me say that again. You don't need anything but Christ to take control of your own life. Taking control of your life starts with day one by yourself in your situation where you are. The Bible said the prodigal son came to himself. You will come to yourself. You'll be like, okay. Why am I struggling financially? What is the problem? See, these are questions, fundamental questions that a Christian must ask himself. Why am I here? You must be able to trace the source of the affliction. Oh, I couldn't hold on to a job. I worked here 3 months. I worked there 4 months. Okay, why can't you hold on to a job? Oh, because of temper. Because of always the job I get, is that they're about to close down or they can't pay salaries or they just want to use me. You must trace it. What is the problem? It is important. Now, after you've traced it and you've discovered it is, you make a deliberate decision. Okay, I'm not going to go in this direction anymore. The decision to be Christ-like is a decision to be the best in every endeavor you lay your hands upon. Christ is the marker for excellence for every individual who believe in him. I mean this with all my heart. That's why when you see those who say they are born again, but they say they don't want to be prosperous, it is a paradox. It is an absolute fallacy. One of the consequences of being a born-again Christian who is full of the Holy Spirit is dominion. You find that the spirit that is dwelling in you is not a spirit that can beg, is not a spirit that can gripe, or that can complain, or that can whine, or that can just be waiting for helper to come. Let my helper come. I'm trusting God for one imaginary helper. That is not the manner of the spirit that is in you. For the spirit that is in you is your helper. That's what the Bible said. Just Christ said, I'm going to send you your helper. The Holy Ghost is your helper. You cannot have the Holy Ghost and still be praying for any helper anywhere. So when I see people singing, my helper, oh, my helper. They are talking to God actually, but I just laugh. When I see people saying, Father, let my helper locate you, they do not understand scripture. The helper of the believer is the Spirit of Christ. The helper of the believer is the Spirit of Christ. So when the believer does not embrace this helper, this believer who already has the Holy Ghost, who is speaking in tongues, will then be praying for something that he shouldn't be praying for. He will not be saying, Father, send help to me. You send help to Paul when he was in the ship. An angel appeared to him. Did the angel bring Paul money? No. What did the angel bring? Words. Words of encouragement and instruction. That is what we receive as believers in order to rise and thrive. That so you say, they said somebody will give somebody $2 million. I'm expecting somebody to just bless me with money. You know, it is not impossible for you to receive money. The same way unbelievers get financial blessing, you can also get financial blessing, but that is not the prerequisite of the Holy Ghost in the life of any man. The Holy Spirit's job is to make you become like Christ, to fashion you into the likeness of Christ, so that everything that Christ can do, you can do also. And that would involve you becoming conscious of Christ in you. It is possible for somebody to have Christ in him and be a failure. There was a guy in the scriptures, the book of Acts, his name is Aeneas. He was born again and he was paralyzed for 8 years. One day, Peter came to the quarters and they told Peter about his case. They said, Peter, there is this our brother. We fellowship together. We pray together. He's full of the Holy Spirit. He speaks in tongues. But he cannot walk. He just lies down there. We are concerned for him because we have no ability to care for him. But we know Jesus heals. But Jesus has not healed him. Peter looked at them. Peter smiled. Peter then went to where the guy is. Peter said, Aeneas, you lazy man. Will you get up? Go and read the Bible. He said, Jesus Christ has healed you. Get up! And the guy got up. Like, I mean, the guy could have got up 8 years ago. The guy was lying that day because he didn't become Christ conscious. The reason I mention laziness now is because there are some people, the reason they didn't become anything in life is that they are just lazy. I mean, some people, they have pipe dreams. They can sit down and tell you, oh, God spoke to me. What did God say? God said, I'll build the biggest hospital in our village. God said, I'm going to empower me. In fact, they can talk about highly dubious imaginings that they call the revelation. Look at them. Look at their life now. They rather just sit down like an old man's spit. They just sit down there. They don't do anything productive. In their 20s, nothing productive. They're in their 30s, nothing productive. Some of them are still living with their mothers. Some of them are still living with their parents. They are clocking 30, they are clocking 35, they are clocking 40. They are just there. They are not thinking. So productive. They have wasted all the youthful energy doing rubbish. The rubbish is not even that they are sleeping around. In fact, sometimes people that are sleeping around are better than the people I'm describing. At least those ones, they may be doing something wrong, but they still know that they need to make money. There are some in sleeping, in waking, they're just panhandlers. And yet, people will say, he has been serving God for years. She has been attending that fellowship for years. We cannot see any progress. It is not on God. It is not on Jesus. It is on this person. This person that has made laziness their Jesus. That they are worshipping laziness morning, noon, and night. And as a result of that, they are not making any leeway with their life. But when it comes to prayer, they will be speaking in tongues. They will be praying in tongues. It is time for you to come out from under the yoke of your weaknesses. If I didn't mention your issue, maybe drunkenness. I know some people, Christians, they drink too much. In fact, I have known three or four. I'm like, what is it? What is the problem? Is it that I don't even understand? What is the problem? What really is the problem? Is the problem? Because they will work. They will wake up in the morning, they work. Those that they work for their weakness, they work to serve their weakness. You know, when you work to serve your weakness, it means they work, and then when they make some money, it is on that their weakness they will spend the money. They will spend the money on their weakness, on it. They will basically work to earn money so that they can spend it on their weakness. So how did they want to make ends meet? How did they want to be responsible parents? Then they will say their wife, I was in a car one day, the husband gave me a lift from church. All of us were attending the same church and we live in the same area. So I was much younger than this. And then they were going my way, so they gave me a seat in their car. Husband, wife, two children, I sat at the back. When they got to where they would drop. Their house was the first we'll get to their house before we get to my own house. So usually I would drop at their house and walk home. Then the husband said to me, I don't drop. Then he told the wife, oh, let me drop him off. I want to see one of my friends. Then the wife turned to him in the car. The wife said, hey, you are going again. When you now come back, you'll be smelling. You'll be acting like a madman. It is not ideal for a wife, for a husband, so, ha, hey, ha, ya, ya, can they care by Kazubidis? You are kings. If you conduct yourself Royally, your wife wouldn't talk to you like that in front of a church member, in front of me. For real, like, the wife did not even try to. The wife said, "Hey, you are going again. You are going again. You now come back. You'll be smelling. You'll be acting like a madman, shouting my name on the street. You are going again." Ah, it was so embarrassing. And I had always looked at this brother as a pious member of the choir of our church. But when the wife spoke like that, it immediately redefined him in my subconscious, how I see him. Why would anyone put himself in that situation? Why? No, as much as I will not preach against all those things because they don't matter, that's the truth. If anybody would dare to want to talk about anything about you, like they come to me and say, "This person does that," I say, "That is your business. He's handling his affairs well. His home is intact, his family. So shut your mouth." You see, it is so easy to shush people who want to spread things about you when you are a master of your own destiny. But when you are under a weakness, everybody pisses at you. You become everybody's laughing stock. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. That's not where to be. That's the I ever, never hear where to be. A man and a woman of integrity that is bearing the name of Jesus, you are masters of all things. You have mastered all things. Christ has given you mastery. So you have automatic mastery of every form of reality, both men and spirits and material things. You are a master of reality. Don't be a slave to the things that ought to serve. This mindset will make you rich. Let me say that again. See, when I see people that are struggling financially, I can tell you by the grace of God how many. I can't tell you how many, but I can tell you at least I can name many that by the grace of God have helped to come out of lack into a place where they are the ones that are giving. Help so many. And the thing I focus on is always Christ in them. If they are conscious of Christ in them, their worldview will change. They will no longer see themselves in the same light that they've ever seen themselves that didn't produce results. They would have the confidence of Christ. When they pray, they know that they are not just speaking into the air. They know that their prayers are going to be answered. And then they will walk and walk in such a manner that their prayers and their steadfastness will pay off. You apply for a job, they didn't give you the job. I'll tell them, go to that office. Tell them you want to be an intern, that you work with them for free. People will think at the beginning, but I think I'll say, don't worry, work for free. It's better than sitting at home. Fact, I want to go every day, meet people. Let them give you freelance work. At the end of the month, they will not give you anything, but in some places, if you have found yourself, you have to be useful. Somebody will say, this is not part of the payroll, but take something. Work for free. After that, you know one or two people. You see some loopholes, begin to feel them. Before you know it, you're on your feet. Like a Christian is born again, sitting at home saying, I have no job. There is no room for that. I mean, there is never room for that. When I left the university, I never sat down at home saying there's no job. I was working. I was working. You must. Church. Go to church. Work. Get something done. Get something doing. Now, if you are older and you cannot do certain things because of your age, then wisdom dictates that you must use your social connection to recover. It is a matter of integrity. You see, they will say to a man that, oh, don't marry a woman that is richer than you. She is going to maybe, that's not true, but people say it a lot, and sometimes I've been proven to be true that when a man comes to a marriage without any substance, people are just going to treat him anyhow. Again, A man of integrity has something to offer if he knows how to put his integrity to work. It is a man that lacks integrity that has nothing to offer. Again, a Christian must have integrity. Your word must be your bound, and you must be able to say yes and yes and no, and you must be a man that has control over his own reality. In all these things, the idea is that you're able to fulfill, you're able to take a hold of your destiny, master your own reality, and succeed where many others have failed. That is the whole point. Not making excuses every day, not praying like this for a whole month, and coming into the month of March saying that things are tight. No, no, no. You have to understand. I know tight situations. I know poverty. I know lack. I know there are people here that have been with me for 30, 40 years that are on this call. That know, that can tell you the story that this is how this guy began. And the truth is, because I know those things, I actually do know how to come out of them. I know how to come out of them. I refuse to cheat my way out of them. Let me say that again. I refuse that somebody will just come and give me one big money and then I'll suddenly be claiming to be rich. I refused it. I said, no, that is not the path I wanted to take. I called a meeting around the year 2020. I called a meeting of all the 8 tribes of the ministry. I told them, we are going to grow organically. We are not going to take members of anybody's church. We are not going to be looking at people's car and beef. We are not going to do anything like that. We are going to teach the word of God. We are going to teach it purely the gospel. We are going to grow organically. God will bring to us our own people that when they hear the word of God, they will grow thereby. We will see the fruits. We can measure. But I do not want this, because around that time, a lot of people that COVID affected them in their local assembly and there was a lockdown. Many of them began to worship online, and many of them began to join our fellowship. And so I noticed a sudden surge from people from all sorts of churches joining. And people are thinking it was a win. And I said, no, this is not what I want. Everybody was like, are you crazy? I said, no, this is what I don't want. I never wanted something that belongs to somebody else. I'm not a covetous person. I wanted God to give us our own, to grow normally, so that we would have the capacity to handle whatever comes, you know, to handle it. We would have grown, we would test the waters, we would do things properly. And so I can tell you that I know what it takes for people to come out of their doldrums, to come out of their dark places, to come out of stagnancy. A Christian can pray just once, it's enough on an issue. I mean it. I look at the Bible. David will pray one time. Pam, God will answer him. Jabez prayed one prayer. God answered him. I said, why are Christians praying 50 times? I don't believe in it. I have to pray the same prayer 50 times for God to answer me. My God is not deaf. And my own children don't talk to me 50 times before I answer them. So I do not have that kind of faith. All this tarry to kill yourself, pray until something happens. I don't believe in all those kind of ideologies. I believe that if a Christian's heart is right, and if it's full of the Holy Spirit, and he prays according to the will of God, heavens must open unto him all the time. It is only when you pray contrary to God's will, and you want to change God's will, that heaven does not open unto you. That's what happened to Jesus. It's in the Bible. When Jesus was praying that God would take away the cup from him, that was when he prayed until he sweated and his sweat was like blood. It was because he was praying for something that is not the will of God. They wanted to change God's will. That was why he prayed that long. Look at your Bible. When people quote the Bible for you, look at context. But before then, everything Jesus was doing, he was doing according to God's will. And nothing that the answer was denied him. Nothing that he asked for. Jesus does not, he would never speak to anything 2 times. Okay, maybe one time he healed a blind man, and then the man said he saw men as trees, and then he laid hands on him again, or maybe that happened maybe 2 or 3 times when it comes to certain healing. But every other thing, including the raising of Lazarus from the dead, including the raising of himself from the dead, he didn't have to struggle. Why? Because all of them were pre-written. It was written according to the will of God. And the life of a Christian is a pre-written life. You are not making things up as you go. Things have been written about you that you must fulfill once you come into the reality of Christ. So why the struggle? The life I'm living now is spiriting. The life Pastor is living is spiriting. I mean it. The every one of us, it is written of us in the volume of the world. We have come to do His will. His will, oh God, we will do. That is the word of God for every believer. We have come to do the will of God. So it's not the will of God for your life to be stagnant or for you not to get that contract or for you not to. It is because you have set your eyes in the wrong direction. And you have set your affection and your energy in the wrong direction. Everybody's got energy. But some people, their energy is ever in the wrong direction. And you are telling them that where you are putting energy is not where you are putting your energy. They'll be fighting. They'll be angry. I'm telling somebody that don't focus your energy on the wrong direction. Person is angry. Don't tell me what to do. Sit down there. No? Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Don't worry. At the end of the day, all of us will be before Christ. So we are going to give accounts. I always think of that thing. You will think that it is account of sin they are talking about. You will realize that it is account of talents. Account of how you used the gift that God gave unto you. And on that day, I will be justified that I did not cuddle anybody. I always try to behave as a teacher in all my classes, not as a pastor, but as a teacher. I always try to behave as a teacher so that I can speak in a stoic manner, in such a manner that those who have to correct themselves, they will correct themselves. A pastor may preach like that and then tell you to bring offering. I don't. I will preach like that so that you can know the truth and so that you can be offended. If you want to be offended, it's fine. But as long as you change, I'm okay with your offense. I also take offense against many people when I was learning, and later I appreciated them for it. So we all must do what we must do to change. So I'm speaking to you now again. You are born again. Christ must become your weakness. Christ, the weakness that I'm talking about is that not that you should be praying 24 hours a day. Is that you must think, you must, when you wake up, you pray in tongues. Thank you, Jesus. As I go out today, that is it. As I go out today, I conquer my weaknesses. I'm not going to gamble. I'm not going to do. I'm not going to do. I'm going, no, no, no. I'm going out today, order my footsteps. I'm going to do great and mighty things. I'm going to be a blessing to my world. I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. When you pray like that, you will be guided. When you are guided, when you get to the places where you are guided to, don't allow your natural instinct take over. Don't go beg where you are supposed to pray for somebody. Don't go to somebody. God is a good somebody. Has to go there and say, ha, come, sit down. As I was praying this morning, it came to my mind. I just need to pray with you. After praying with you, I'm going. Then the person says, oh, come, come, come. Have you eaten? No. No wonder you came to pray for me. I was looking at it. I thought you must be hungry. No, you will stand up, you will dress, you will leave. You will go to other places. You will do the things that the Holy Spirit has said to upon your heart to do. Within a walking distance, be hungry. It is part of training. Within a short time, you notice that the atmosphere begins to shift for you. I mean that. That is for those who are ground zero, those who are even indebted. That's why in a lot of debt, you want to come out of it. The way to come out of it is by doing Christ. Wake up in the morning, go to your office. When you get to the office, that hole you have dug, you don't go back into it. But in your office, you become more than just a staff. You are working, you are a blessing to people. You are working, you are a blessing to people. You begin to change their impression of you. They begin to look at you and say, ah, he has changed. Ah, he has really changed. In fact, he is kinder, he's nicer. He prayed with me 2 days ago. He helped me to do this thing. He was the one that called my attention to the mistake I made. They notice this change in you that, oh God. Then they begin to want to help you. But that you are still your, you know, you are still your callous, selfish self. and you're expecting that you are going to tap into people's what do they call it, milk of human kindness, because you are the only baby among us that must be taking milk at age 40. So everybody should come and contribute milk of human kindness for you, because you didn't give enough when you are a baby. There is something fundamentally wrong with your thinking, and suffering is the only way that God can take it away, and that's why that person is still suffering. Nobody shouldn't be suing for anybody's mercy as a Christian. A Christian does not beg for mercy. We do not beg for kindness. We do not look at anybody and say, please help me. No, we know that we have been set apart to be a help to the world, and that as soon as we begin to help the world will respond to us with kindness. That was how Jesus did it. He didn't leave his father's house with money. He left with the consciousness of Christ. And then he began to do good. That's what the Bible said. How God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power. And went about doing good. Then he went about doing good. That is how to be Christ. Let me say that again. Because this session is going. And I want to emphasize that. No matter where you are as a Christian. Now, no matter where you are. I'm broke. I'm indebted. I'm lost. I don't have a house. I don't have anything I'm doing. Whatever. No matter where you may find yourself now. Throw away the garment of shame and all these things. You are Christ. Be a blessing now. In the house where you are squatting, wash the plates, clean the house. Be a good squatter. Then be a good ambassador of Christ to the world. Preach the gospel. Heal the sick. Be kind. Be nice. Be amiable and affable. Begin to show the goodness of God to the world, even though you are suffering. Your situation will change. People will notice. People respond to kindness. People will notice. You are not begging for anything, but people will notice. Somebody will say, where do you stay? Say, I'm staying with a friend. I have a PQ somewhere. They begin to offer you, because they are going to weigh you according to their judgment of you. They say, this guy shouldn't be suffering like this anymore. He has paid his deal. See him, he has changed. He's laughing more. He's playful more. He's no longer that proud. He's no longer selfish. People notice. And then they ease their burden on you. And you notice that you'll come out of that dark place within a month or two. I guarantee it. When I say I guarantee something, take my word to the bank. When you become like Christ to the world will respond to you the way they responded to Jesus. Jesus started his ministry with nothing. Within a day, he began to call people to follow him. All of them were following him because they were following his disposition, his kindness, his nature, his kind-heartedness, the way he spoke, his mannerism. They said, you will follow him. So people said, you follow him. He said, I don't have a place to sit. They said, we'll follow you like that. Why? Because he was Christ. He wasn't responding to his difficulties in life. He was behaving like somebody who is conscious of the God that he is. This consciousness is what will change your life. It is what changed my life. When things were tough and I was a PA and I couldn't find my way out of it, I'll read my scriptures, I will see the way Jesus behaved. I will say, okay, this is how I'll behave today. I began with by doing it to my fellow staff members. I'll go to them, I'll ask them questions. How can I be of help? I'll pray for them when they need prayer. One of them was pregnant at the time. I prayed with her. One, there's another brother that couldn't get a wife. He was engaged, but he couldn't get married because of debt. Prayed with him, gave him counsel. Before you know it, their lives changed. They told other people. And all of us were working in the same place. And they began to bring in their friends for counseling, for prayer. Before you know it, I became as Christ to everybody. I was able to come out of it because I didn't allow my situation to dictate who I am. I am Christ to my world. And that's little space was my world. Be Christ to your world. Be Christ to your world. Conquer that weakness. Be Christ to your world. Begin to relate with your world as Christ, to your world as Christ. They will see, Jesus Christ said, the world will see the goodness of God in you and they will glorify your Father who is in heaven. They will see it. They will see it. But if they see your weakness, they will not. I will not. I will not. If it is your weakness, I'm saved. I'm sorry. If I see Christ, with all joy. But if I don't see Christ, I see somebody that will take my money to God. I will not give my money. I will not. My mother did not. Jesus did not raise me like that. So you see now why your weakness has to go and then Christ has to come to the fore. We have to see Christ in you. We have to see the manifestation of Christ in the little things you do, in your way of talking, the way of doing, the way you dress. You begin to notice the change. Everybody begins to say, ah, it's changing, it's changing. 1 week, 2 weeks, they see the consistency. They begin to open their heart to you. How can we help you? How can we sort you out? What can we give you? Can we establish you a business? I have seen this over and over and over again. Nobody wants their relative to be struggling and suffering. When they see that you are ready to be helped and that you come out of that place, you will see how help will come. And help will come, and before you know it, you are established. And if you continue consistently sharing Christ, you will never know a better yesterday. You will always be sharing testimony of one goodness to the other, one goodness to the other, one goodness to the other, all the days of your life. That is the way that we become. We take control of our reality and we become the fullness of Christ to the world. Glory to God. It's time to give our offering. Ah, thank you, Jesus. This offering is especially important for those who are trusting God for change. Especially for those who are struggling. Those who are struggling, I want them themselves to know I have this weakness. I drink too much. I do this. I do that. I chase cats. I chase men. This weakness. I just want this yoke broken. I told you it is my determination. I told you. I'm always very clear how people come out of places where they find themselves hemmed in. When you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. You must find a way out of it. You must find a way out of it. You must fight every impulse that wants to keep you beneath your human standard. You have a God standard. You have a human standard. When you fall for your weakness, you are living beneath your human standard. That is basic instinct, animalistic level. You must come out of that into your human wholesomeness. And from that, you must come into your divine nature. Your divine nature is the highest. But when you put that are beneath human standard down, I want you to declare it. From today, I break this yoke off my neck. I am no longer going to be a slave to sin, to weakness, to bad habits. I'm no longer going to be to be a weakling in my own story, to things that are made by men, to methane, to methanol, to ethanol, to drinks, to no. I'm not going to be a weakling to gambling, to drug addiction. I'm not. I'm made, wonderfully and beautifully made. And I reserve my right to be called so. I belong to God. Thank you, Jesus. I break away this habit of gambling. I do not do it anymore. Do not chase, get all around, sleeping around. No. It's not me. I'm far above his rights and power. Far above. I'm far above. It is my life. I shine for glory. I walk in my divine nature. I walk in my divine stature. From today, I'm Christ to my world. I'm Christ to my world. Everybody sees me and they begin to say, indeed, he has changed. His life has turned around. Oh, she has changed. She has turned a new leaf. My life shares that testimony. I belong to God. I belong to God. I belong to God. There is a name named upon me, and that name is speaking in my destiny. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your holy name. For in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Let the blessing of the Lord shout, glory!
Glory!
Glory to God. Glory to Jesus.